Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Last week we talked about hope, and I'm gonna do a continuum. I'm gonna talk about hope again because I got a good response, and I believe it's just a now word we need to hear because of everything that's going on, and it's just so important that we understand our hope. Remember, our hope is a living hope. We talked about that last week. It's living because it's connected to the resurrection. The resurrection. And Jesus is alive. And so that's for believers. That's for born-again children of God. You can have a living hope. You can't have a living hope if you're not in the family of God. Well, everybody's in the family of God. No. You got to be born into the family of God. Because you were born in sin in this world and separated from God because of Adam and Eve's sin. You see that? And when we're born into this world, we're born in contradiction to God because of sin, psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically. And God calls all those areas of our life in alignment after we're born again to line up with His divine design. And He is the one that designed you. And He has a plan and purpose for your life. And this is when we begin to understand this, we have a living hope. We have a living hope. And it will get you through anything you go through in this life. Amen? We talked about this last week. There's times you can't fix things in your life. You're going through something and you just can't fix it. And so what happens is you have to try, you begin to start to fix it. That's what God wants. He wants you to start working on yourself. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe you've got a lot of debt and God wants you to start having a budget. Budget so you can, you know, help your family in the financial area and so you can be in a position to give. And oh, maybe it's your relationships. Maybe you need to work on your relationships. You see that? Because relationships are important. I was telling Wednesday night, we should be in the church and have relationships in the church that are contributing to our life, that add to our life, to help us into the will of God. So we can fulfill the will of God. You can't fulfill the will of God without relationships. We need relationships. Money will make you rich. Relationships will make you wealthy. You see that? Relationships give you something that money won't give you. Am I making sense? Now, think about this. Donnie and I have been working out on Saturday mornings together. We've been doing that together on Saturday mornings. I go to a NK Parts gym through the week. Then I go to this gym that she's been going to on Saturdays. And I liked yesterday, I thought about this. It made me think of this hope. And so, because see, hope is in the middle, remember? Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Hope is what gets you to the love part. You see that? Remember, hope is being shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. See that? It says that in Romans 5. We need hope. So she said, yesterday we were doing these elbow planks. Yeah, elbow planks. And so she said, I heard her over there, and we had to hold them for a minute. She's always comes home and tells me she hates elbow planks. And so, she was doing them, and I heard her over there, and she goes, oh, she got excited. She told everybody, I lasted the whole time for a minute. You know, what you have to do is not let your knees touch. And so she said, honey, I talked to the Lord the whole time. She said, I was on there, and I was talking to the Lord the whole time. She goes, I didn't even realize until the bell rang that I made it. Ding! And then she got all excited. That's really what hope's like. The hard things. The hope is in the middle. And he'll get you to it. That's a simple analogy, but that is a very much a reality. That's why we need a living hope. Am I making sense? Let's go to our vision, and then we're going to go to our scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are in the last time. The last time is speaking of the last days. That's the time period from when Jesus ascended. He came first and was born, and he ascended. He dealt with, he gave us the, we can deal with our sin. He came the first time, and now he's ascended. But he's coming back. There's more scripture and more understanding about his second coming than there is his first coming, than Christmas. There's more prophecy of his second coming. He's coming back. And so it says we have a blessed hope, and we're waiting on the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's our blessed hope. That's the way we live daily, every day. Well, everybody's been saying that for a long time. We're going to keep saying it, right? Because we got eternity. Eternity's forever. And if I'm going to spend it with him, I want to know what's going on. How about you? Because there's another place you can spend eternity. And I don't want to go there. Amen? So, we're looking at this. Go with me to Romans 15:4, Christina. When expectation is low, anxiety comes up. See, hope is a joyful anticipation of good. Hope is, I'm expecting good to be coming. Because the Bible tells us that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So good is coming. May not look like it. Circumstances may be telling me everything else. Situation may be difficult. But inside, I got a living hope. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see that? He's telling you a whole nother story. And that's the story you need to listen to, because that's the story of the truth about you. He wants to show you the you you haven't met yet. Wait a minute now. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. You see that? Your patience. You see that? The word patience means to endure. There's some things in life we have to endure. And this is where we get into the problem. Faith, hope, and love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith, hope, and love, the love is the agape love. The faith, Galatians 5:6, faith works through love. So if you want your faith to work, nothing works in the kingdom of God outside of faith. So you have to grow and mature and understand how to work this faith. Faith works through love. So faith, hope, and love, 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is love. God's trying to develop his agape love in you and in me. And that's our inheritance. You see that? That's our inheritance that God has called us to. Now, think about this. Remember last week I told you, your life is a reflection of the voices you've been listening to. people you listen to the most. Your life is a reflection of that. That's why you want to have people who are contributing into your life, contributing and adding value in such a way that it's putting you right in the middle of God's will. And that's what the church, you should have people in the church, people you can trust, and you can talk to them and express anything to them and trust them. They're here. You just have to have the discernment to connect with them. Remember, what's the word discernment mean? It means to recognize patterns and the wisdom to make an adjustment. You need to have discernment to recognize patterns in people that you can take God's wisdom and make an adjustment in your life to get to a better place. But that discernment comes out of the agape love of God. And when we begin to grow in that, we begin to walk in that, now we're beginning to fulfill his plan and purpose because we're in his love, the agape love of God. You remember when Israel, the Israelites were in the wilderness and God told Moses, he said, take the land. I've given you the land. Go get it. The promised land. What happened? 12 spies went over. 10 of them came back with an evil report. Over 2 million of them listened to the evil report. A whole generation didn't make it into the promised land because they listened to the wrong report. Did you catch that? That's the same way it is today. Joshua and Caleb made it in because they listened to the right report. And their families made it in. But that whole generation didn't make it in because they listened to the wrong report. They disqualified themselves because of who they listened to. They disqualified themselves and what God intended their life to be because of who they listened to. That's what we're dealing with today. We are learning to do this in a way that we don't disqualify ourselves from all that he has for us. You see that? Well, we got to grow and mature in that. Are you catching that? Now, this is huge. So he says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience, see, this is where we falter. Patience. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The word count means to what? Remember? Value. You should value the difficult things you're going through. You should value them. Because why? Count it all joy. James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Endurance. We need endurance in our life. See, remember? When we're in a place and we want to fix it and we can't, a lot of times it takes endurance. But we don't want to endure. We want to alter. We want to alter things because we don't want to wait. We don't want to be patient. Well, we give up our hope in the middle of there so we don't get to the love. So we're really not in the faith because we gave up. That's why it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. You see that? Hold fast as though your life depended on it. Hold fast to the confession of your hope as though your life depended on it. Now, think about this. He's given us the scriptures that we'll have hope. Now, go with me to Psalms 78. If you ever paid attention in church, today's the day. This is so significant. This is so important. You know what? Give me Psalms 42, Christina. Then we're going to go to this. I want you to catch this. Now look at this. This is David. And look what he says. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? He was depressed. He felt isolated. You see, when you isolate, you're going to get depressed. When you, just before the scripture before, in verse 4, he says, I walked with the people I worshiped with. I feasted with them. I ate with them. But now he's feeling isolated because he's not connecting with people. We got to stay connected in the church. The church is where God is building his church. You're the church. If you're born again, you are God's church. He's going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, what's that saying? That's saying you're going to have the fruit that people need that you work with. Well, they don't want to hear anything about that. Well, they don't want to hear anything about that. Well, maybe they're there to change you. Well, they don't want to hear nothing about the gospel. Well, maybe you need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. God's doing something in you to develop you so you can give them a little more grace and a little more mercy. You see that? That's what God wants. He wants you to give grace and mercy to people, even your enemies. Now look at this. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He was depressed. He was discouraged. Sometimes, folks, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through things in this life that you wonder, you think all hell is breaking loose in your life. This is where God comes in. When you understand this, and you have this living hope, and you're connected in the body of Christ, you're going to get through it. And you're going to come out better on the other side because you have a living hope. Now watch this. I remember when I had my lip removed because I had a spot on there of cancer. And I thought, well, I'll get a stitch put in there and I'll go in and get a stitch and it'd be done. Well, I go in and Donita's with me and they cut my whole lip off. I mean, no lip. And I'm sitting there in that room. Donita was crying and the Holy Spirit said something to me. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my help. You know, I've never gone through anything close to that. I'm 66. I've never stayed in the hospital. I've never had that kind of stuff. But the Holy Spirit told me, go tell him the Lord is your helper. And he'll never leave you nor forsake. You know what the word forsake means? To abandon emotionally. God didn't abandon me emotionally. Right there, his presence was there. Donita stopped crying, and that we could sense his presence right there in the room. I'm telling you. You know what? We went right out into the car. I don't have no lip. You know, wah, 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 wah. And I got this big old bandage on my head, and somebody called, and I said, you know what? I just had my lip removed. I said, I won't be able to sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Now I'm going to have to sing, your praise will ever be on my lip. It has to be singular. I still had joy. Are you paying attention? See, remember last week? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Trouble! He said, in me, you're going to have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. What's tribulation? Tribulation, you know what that is? That might be competitive siblings in your family. That might be people in church who try to guard the territory and they've always done it this way and they're gonna bring trouble in your life. That might be somebody at work. It's gonna bring trouble in your life. But Jesus said, in me, you're gonna have peace. In this world, be of good cheer. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus always tells us the truth. That you're going to have difficulties in this life. You're going to go through things. When I'm who you're focused on, I'm going to be with you. I've overcome the world. He's not teaching us to a gospel of avoidance. He's teaching us a gospel of overcoming. We can overcome no matter what we face in this life when Jesus is our Lord. Come on, am I making sense? Am I making sense? That's what he's teaching you. And that's what he wants. You can't overcome if you don't have this living hope. Joy. Things will overcome you. And you'll be like David, looking around and wondering what's going on. Get a hold of this. This is huge. I remember when I was a kid in my living room, my dad had my sisters and I, and he had just taken my mom to the hospital. And she had to go to this state hospital because she had a nervous breakdown. Never had any problems like this before. It just happened. And we didn't know what was going on. My dad didn't know how to handle it. He was in a difficult place. He said, kids, I feel like I'm on the ship in World War II. In World War II, he was on the ship. He actually drove the ship, the old Wasp. And when they would be bombed, the chaplain had them say the 23rd Psalm. So while they were being bombed, they would shout out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A whole ship, none of them were ever killed. My dad got wounded, but he was not killed. You hearing this? So he said, I feel like I'm in a position, I don't know what to do. So he goes and he gets the Bible, and he reads that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He reads it to us kids, and I'm sitting there listening. I'm listening to everything. He says, he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That resonated in me. And I know that's why I'm a pastor today. Now listen, I studied that. What's he saying when he says, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies? He's saying he has something prepared for you. This is what happens. Sheep, they'll be grazing. They'll be grazing in the lowland, and they'll run out of grass to graze on. And so what happens is the shepherd will take them up in these mountains, and there's a table up there. It's called a table. And snakes can't breathe up there. Snakes were one of the biggest enemies of sheep, because sheep have no defense. We're all like sheep. They have no defense. Now look. So he would take them up there. And this, you know, I remember as a kid, I would pick blueberries at my grandma's in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And we'd see snakes down in the creeks. We never saw them up there picking the berries way up high in the mountains. I'm just saying. And nobody was ever afraid of them. But we always looked for them around the creek. And I figured that's out. I finally figured out that's why. Snakes can't breathe up there. You see that? He prepares the table. He'll take you to a place where you can feast. And the snakes can't bite you. You see that? He's not talking about snakes. He's talking about people. People will poison you with things they say. Poisons in the mouth. They'll say things to you, and it will poison you and hurt you. You see that? But God's saying, you're going through a very difficult time. If you stay with me, I got a table prepared for you. I got a table prepared for you, and you're going to be nourished at this table. You're going to be nourished and strengthened at this table. And no matter what snakes have been around, no matter what's around, you're going to be all right. Am I making sense? Because he's going to give you exactly what you need at that table. He knows exactly what you need. He knows how to nourish you, no matter if you've lost a loved one, no matter what's going on in your life. He knows what you need to get through it and continue on with your reflection of him and being a witness for him. See that? Because that's what he wants. He doesn't want you falling apart like a $2 suitcase. You see that? He doesn't want that. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to go through things. But he doesn't want you falling apart. He wants your emotions intact. See that? And be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That means your emotions are intact. You're not letting everything destroy you, because you got something going with him. And he's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. If he's Lord, he's the master, he's the ruler, he's the shepherd, he's the supervisor over your soul. If he's not Lord of all that, he's not Lord at all. He's not just a savior, he's Lord. Amen? So, go with me quickly to Psalm 78. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope. Set what? Hope. Set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now look. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. You see? You know what he's saying here? He's saying the fathers weren't doing what they're supposed to do. And so the children don't have what it takes to stay in the faith. Our fathers, a lot of our fathers have let us down and made it more difficult on us because they never stood up for what they believed and didn't show us the way. Come on, am I making any sense? And so if your father abandoned you, you know what? David said, where your mother and father have abandoned you, I will take you up. The Lord will take you up. So we can't use that as an excuse to not serve the Lord. But this is what he's talking about here. If the fathers do what they're supposed to do, the children are going to want what they have. Oh. Go back to this first one here in Psalm 78. For he established a testimony in Jacob. Now get a hold of this. Jacob wrestled with God all night long. Because the name Jacob means deceiver, trickster, heel planter, liar. That's what Jacob means. He says, look, he established a testimony in Jacob. Jacob wrestled all night with God in Genesis 32. And it says when he woke up in the morning, he got a new name. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Israel means Prince of God. He changed him from a deceiver, a liar, a trickster, and a cheat to the Prince of God. Get a hold of this. This is huge. This is what God is saying here. If you remember Jacob and his testimony, you're going to stay in the faith. If you forget all this, it has an effect on your life and you may not stay in the faith. This is what he's saying. I've laid this out. Established a testimony. The word testimony means to do again. To do again. The Bible says in Revelations, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If you don't have a testimony, you'll never be an overcomer. If you don't have a testimony, you're not going to make it. You need to understand the testimony of Jacob. Now look, go with me, Christina, to Matthew 22. Jesus was talking to the Sadducees. The Sadducees had just said in verse 23, there is no resurrection, because they didn't understand. Look what Jesus is telling them. You are mistaken. You're mistaken by not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. That power is the resurrection power. You see, it's only in God.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.